dead. Dead.
Welcome back to Craft Beer is Dead. I told Bree she'd be leading this one in, and then I went and did that. Welcome back to this episode, this lovely happy episode. I don't even know what one we're on right now. I should know that. 17, 18, 19, 20. This will be 20.
Damn.
Yeah. I'll allow Bree to...
I'm good. I'm back. I'm here. I'm happy to be here. It's just Chris. If you know, you know. If you don't, look at you.
You gotta wait for the opportune moment for the perfect fart noise. I've had this conversation, actually recently. Farts and music are the one thing you can take two people from across the world who don't speak the same language, who have not lived the same life, and they will both get it. Am I wrong?
No.
Yeah, like music can make you cry, make you happy, all these different things. And you can take me and like an 80-year-old Sherpa and put it side by side and somebody goes, and we're both going to go, huh.
They can laugh, you can cry. It's the same concept.
So speaking of laugh, actually, I don't even have a segue from that. That's just fun fart noises. Welcome back to episode 20. We are doing yet another spooky scary. Last week we covered Robert Picton, that dirty little fucking pig farmer.
Dirty man.
Dirty boy. But yeah, that one was pretty creepy. So following that up, we're going to do, you said you've got a pretty cool subject this week, right?
So it's not necessarily a spooky scary, but it definitely is leaning more on the conspiracy-ish scale. And everyone has definitely heard of this at some point. But if you're like myself, then you didn't know all the details. So I thought this would be kind of fun to cover.
Yeah.
So you want to crack open a brew to start this show off?
Well, we've never done it before, so maybe we should try.
What is this? Is this beer?
What is beer? Just kidding.
So this is called No Seasons. It's a spruce tip pale ale from Hourglass.
Yay!
Yeah, so it's part of their small batch series, and it has a bunch of Christmas lights on it, so this goes perfect with our fucked up tale of the day. What are some of the cores? What should people know about them?
So they do the Saison du Soleil, which I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly, but that is probably one of the best Saisons in at least Florida. They've been killing it with that. They typically always have their Irish Red Ale on. They've got a very popular Brown Ale, Hefeweizen as well. And then one of the ones they're kind of known for, at least in distro and stuff, is the Apricostic, which is this massive 17, almost 18% apricot beer. Yeah. And then what's cool about them too, if you are in Orlando or in the greater Orlando area, they've got their location in Longwood. They also have a secondary location in the Hourglass District of Orlando, right over like near Curry Ford and Bumby-ish, right near our friends over at Commission Beer Chamber.
Yeah, they're pretty much right next door.
Yeah, thank you so much. And then they also, attached to the Longwood one, have a separate facility basically called Sourglass, where they do a lot of mixed fermentations, a lot of kind of old school, a little bit longer fermentation plan kind of beers and stuff too. So
I think they have something like 40-something taps on at even like both locations, I think, actually, which is insane, and zero guest taps. I believe that all of them are their own beer.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Yeah, they do a really good job of keeping a diverse profile. So, or portfolio, I should say. So if you go there and you can't find something you like, something's wrong.
It's you.
Yeah, it's you. It's not them, it's you. But one cool thing, too, that I wanted to throw out, I know we keep hyping up Orlando Beer Week, which we'll talk about more details later on. Not necessarily kicking it off, but like one of the festivals that's going on that week is the Smash Beer Festival. Yes. Now, you know, in the current realm of things, it's everyone's probably going to have their own opinion as far as what the festival should look like, or if they should be doing one or this, that, or whatever. The one thing I can say with seeing a lot of the internal dialogue and a lot of the emails and communications and stuff is, you know, they've worked very, very diligently with the city of Longwood to make sure they do this in a very safe manner. Yeah. They've got a massive part of a park going on, so everything will be spaced out as much, like not as much as possible, just to guidelines and beyond. So we're excited. We're going to be pouring there. I know a lot of other cool breweries throughout the state are going to be there too. So, and the Smash Fest, if you've never been, it is one of the like the coolest beer fests you're going to find within the Central Florida area. Not that there's not a lot of great ones, but it's one of those ones where it's one malt, it's one hop, and you can do anything else you want, but you have to only use the one and the one. So it's really cool. You get like that kind of one-off experience. You're only going to find those beers there, and it's made specifically for that event. So in a world of going and trying the same IPA and the same Hefeweizen from the same breweries,
all
from the same distributors.
That they bring to every beer fest.
Yeah.
Which you actually ironically answered. So on the Instagram, as you know, we posted a question thing this morning for people to ask us questions that we could answer on air today. And one of the questions was, I'm curious about which is the best local-based Orlando beer festival. So I think you actually just...
That's one of them for sure.
Unintentionally 100%. Answered that.
Yeah. You're welcome, random listener.
That's actually crafted in Florida.
Our top three, at least in our area, definitely the Morimoto. It's just a great event.
It's I mean, there's so much good food involved. So
and all the proceeds go back to local charities. Like, so the money basically goes directly back into the community. Smash Fest is awesome because, like, I personally love the festivals that kind of, like, showcase a little bit more of the creativity.
Yeah.
Kind of hit or miss, who knows what's going to happen kind
and
of thing.
And competitions are just super fun. We're all, like, very competitive people.
Yeah.
And the fact that it, I think, really evens the playing field because you have no idea what you're going to select. And the fact that it's everyone has to follow the same parameters is just really, really cool to see.
Yeah, so you really get, like, to see what the voice of the brewery itself is.
Yeah.
And then the same thing for Bobby at Bowiegans usually does one, the Central Florida Top Brewer. Still waiting to hear back when that's going live again. Obviously, it fluctuates. But that one's a really cool one where you pick one hop, one malt, and then like two random ingredients. And you can do whatever else you want, but you have to incorporate those four ingredients in some way.
So what's more fun, the selection day or the actual beer fest? Because I know you guys have a freaking ball at the selection day.
It's hard, man, because like selections. So as sure as anybody out there in the industry can pertain to, if you're not on the sales side, you don't get to go see all the accounts and all the breweries as much as you'd like to. You don't get to see what everyone's doing nearly as much as you'd like to. So, you know, when you're doing the pick day, like all the brewers are there, all like, you know, your friends, like your industry family and stuff like that surrounding you. And you get to catch up with so many people at one time.
There's so much energy involved. Like even if you just watch people's highlight stories and stuff, you can see everyone is just having so much fun. And you can tell that it's the camaraderie and just the point of the whole thing that brings everyone together. It's really neat.
It's just a good spirit. Like we got a lot of people doing fun things. Like sometimes we hijack Bowiegan's stereo and we play like their Chumbawamba or Smash Mouth on repeat until they find out it's us. Allegedly. No, but then the event's great too. So, and the one thing that, you know, they're doing too, and just kind of something to throw out there, not to be all controversial or whatever, this is an event that does buy the beer and then donates the proceeds to a charity as opposed to just like asking you to donate all the beer and then basically just doesn't contribute anything to anything other than their own pockets.
Yes. Which.
Bye, buddy. I love you. Sorry, that was our buddy Nolan. He's borrowing our bottling line real quick, but yeah.
I definitely think that it's a good move. Whether you are buying the beer from the breweries, that's always, you know, just a really cool thing for the breweries, obviously. But if you are making them pay to enter, that being a charity or charitable event is always a lot more obviously beneficial to the community, but it also leaves a better taste in everyone's mouth who has to actually buy into it.
I'm just going to be honest real quick. There's a lot of beer fests out there that asks you to be a part of it and then asks you to donate. And yes, the money goes to charity. And when the money goes to charity, it may be like 10%. So it's just kind of a dick move because everything else gets pocketed. Especially
nowadays. I mean, a lot of cost goes into beer fests. So of course, like once you cover the cost to throw the whole thing.
No.
Obviously then after the fact.
100%.
Yeah. You know?
Totally get that. But like, don't sit there and go, oh, it's all for charity. And then like pocket 25 grand.
Just be transparent. Just be like, this is going to us to do this again next year. This is just going. So I have incentive to keep trying to throw this together, which I'm still fine with that. People should be paid for a ordeal such as throwing a fest.
No, I'm not saying like take any funds out of the actual quantifiable funds for tents and ice and all that kind of stuff. But that's not always the case. So
exactly.
I don't know. It's just one of those kind of things where If you know, you know. You know what I mean? So,
you know.
But yeah, go check out Hourglass, Longwood, Hourglass, over in the Hourglass District. Word on the street is maybe something else is going on at some point in the future, but I won't say anything because I'm often wrong.
But if you do go to Hourglass right now, I was just fortunate to go there this past weekend, and they have a sour wit on brewed with Brett, Brettanomyces, and it's really fucking good, you guys. Like, I've been telling the boys about it for the last 2 days because it just kind of blew my mind. I've never seen that combination before, and it was really fantastic. So kudos to them.
Oh yeah. So all beer aside, we are
full. We're good. We're relaxed. We're getting into the spirit of Christmas.
Happy Christmas Eve and all that good stuff out there to all of you. That's what this is. Yeah.
Yeah, this story is definitely going to get you into a holly jolly merry spirit.
Yeah, so pause right now, call your loved ones, keep riding the Christmas train, and then come back to us and we'll totally deflate you like the tiny balloon you are.
Or it might be your loved ones who are out to get you.
Bum, bum, bum.
Such as in the story of Jean-Benet Ramsey.
Dun, 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 dun.
The Christmas.
Sorry, terrible timing.
The Christmas murder, as jolly dolly as Chris just exclaimed. So, do you want to hear? You want to hear about her?
Nope.
You want to hear about it?
Closing it down. Nope. Bye.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's hear about this thing. Look, we all know. Okay,
We've
I
all
like
heard
this one because, like, kind of follows the same thing with Manson. So, yes, we kind of know the details? Question mark. But do we really know all the different things? And it's kind of fun to revisit these and kind of explore some of the stories that we're kind of familiar with, but we don't remember every detail about.
I mean, because even her image still comes up on the cover of magazines every, like, 5 or 10 years of the anniversary of her murder. Like, this is still an unsolved mystery, and it was one of the biggest stories in, realistically, our country's history, actually. Like, this was a major, major, major ordeal. So, and, no, I mean, the family is still kind of going through it right now, but
poor family.
Maybe they deserve it.
We're not. I don't know yet.
I said maybe.
All right. Well, maybe. Let's find out.
All right. So, like we said, most of us are familiar with the story of Jean-Benet, but maybe not about all of the facts, such as myself. This is a fairly old case, but not really. Happened actually in the late 90s. So let's begin. Let's cover the basics. Jean-Benet was born August 6, 1990. So only 3 years after me, actually.
Really?
You know what's really funny? I put in here, pause for evil look from Chris. Swear to God. If you want to see my computer right now, it says, God. Pause for evil look from Chris.
You will someday be as old as I am. You'll find that's not too bad.
You just did exactly what I wanted.
You young kids and your internet.
Oh, that was perfect. So she was born in Atlanta, Georgia, to her parents, John and Patricia. So remember those names.
Okay.
From a super young age, she began winning beauty pageants, big ones too, such as Little Miss Colorado, America's Royal Miss, and National Tiny Miss.
National what?
Tiny Miss.
Oh, I thought you said tininess.
Tiny mitts. Like, she had little hands.
Oh, tiny mitts?
I'm kidding. It's Miss.
Oh, it's Jesus, like, is she good at softball? Because probably not. The balls are bigger. All right. What's old tiny mitts up to?
On the morning of December 26th. So that's why we're discussing this, because it's Christmas time.
Guys, that's 2 days from now. It's happening in the future.
Her parents wake up to find their 6-year-old daughter missing from her room. They also discovered a ransom note for $118,000. Very specific number. Upon finding the note, the parents immediately call the police, which went against the ransom note. They did show up around 6 a.m. and search the entire house, including the basement. The police immediately started fucking this entire investigation up, though, because the parents were not obviously suspects, so they only roped off her bedroom and not the rest of the home, so the entire family could pretty much roam free about and touch things and mess up all the evidence. So
I'm sorry, like, that right there, It's almost like Police 101.
Yes.
Or not Police 101. I'm not a cop. Who the fuck do I know?
The but whole like, house. I would look at the entire house as being a crime scene. Why would her bedroom be the only crime scene? Because that's where she was sleeping. That's where she was last seen. Like, that whole thing did not make any fucking sense.
Yeah, I feel like Detective 101's like, all right, get everyone out.
Yes.
Hey, go to like a Motel 6.
Exactly.
Maybe a residence inn. I don't know.
Go to the police station. Sit there. Let's talk to you first. Whatever.
Separate them all out, see what their story
100%.
Is. 100%. And 100% of the time, if you are a family member or a spouse, you're going to be a suspect until they clear you.
Exactly.
Just like work
with
them.
And she had several brothers and sisters too. She wasn't an only child or anything, and they were all older. So, whatever. So, after an autopsy was done, they concluded that she died from asphyxiation due to strangulation, in addition to a severe skull fracture. Her mouth was covered in duct tape, and her wrists and ankles were tied with a white cord. No semen was found, but unfortunately, there was signs of sexual assault. So, 6 years old. Weirdly enough, they found pineapple in her stomach when her parents don't recall her eating any pineapple that night or the days leading up to that. She also was not a fan of pineapple, but her brother Burke's fingerprints were on the pineapple upstairs. But the parents claim he was sleeping the entire night in his room, which, I mean, honestly, at this point, how can you definitively say that when your other child was also supposedly sleeping in her bed all night?
Yeah.
Whatever. So the initial investigation led to an intruder theory, and then the police relied heavily on the Ramsey's family for information. Later, the police concluded the ransom note did not seem right and extremely long and was written using a pen and paper from the family's home. And the ransom demanded the same amount of money that John had received as a bonus that year. So bonuses and stuff like that, I believe, are not public knowledge, but I could be wrong.
Well, it really depends, too, because I mean, like,
what he was doing and stuff.
What he was doing, you know, like, was it a disgruntled employee or like all those kind of things?
No, 100%. But like most of the time, people don't know how much you make that year, let alone what your bonus is. And that's a huge bonus. So think of it like, so mind you, like, keep in mind, this is a very upscale family.
Oh, I forgot to split our bonus for the, okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Thank you. So I get $18, right? Is that what you're saying?
It's actually 18 doll hairs. Yeah. No, well, but real quick too is that's kind of suspicious as well because who just, okay, you're breaking in. You're killing a child. You're a terrible person, I'm assuming, based off of everything you've done so far in my imaginary thing here. And you're in this house. How long was this ransom note?
It was like a full page and a half, almost like a couple pages.
Okay, so I don't write very often. And I do know that when I do write more than like maybe a paragraph, my hands get tired because I'm apparently weak and frail. But with that being said, too, why take the added risk of like wasting that time to write like some sort of thing on the spot?
Yeah.
And how do you know where to find that fucking paper and stuff, man? Like, not everyone. Anyway, I digress.
I know. I agree. All right. After this discovery, pretty much the family just stopped cooperating, and they claimed that the police were not going to conduct a full investigation and just point them as the easy subjects. So
wait. So as soon as they were, like possible, it's not subjects. As soon as there were possible like criminals, God, it's right on the tip of my tongue. What is it? Suspects. Jesus Christ. As soon as there are possible suspects, they're like, never mind. We're not doing anything. Okay, that's just.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure we clarified that underneath those phrases.
Straight up.
All right.
So, legitimately, then the same day, the police then go and do another kind of once around the house, and that's when they find her body in the basement of the family's home. So the same home that they never took the parents out of, really, and that they just, I don't know how they didn't have a full perimeter. So, like, are you understanding what I'm saying? Like,
no, 100%.
The kid goes missing, the police show up, they do the investigation, the police are still evidently, like, around, and then the body shows up in the basement.
So, do we know? All right.
So,
How long from the initial combing of the house was that?
So, it was the same day.
Okay.
Literally, the same day. So, hold on. I know. I just want to make sure, like, I mean, pretty much it was, I want to get a timeline. It was pretty much after 1 p.m., but before, like, 5 p.m.
Okay.
Okay. So, it was, like, right out, all right, so 1 p.m. that same day is when the police started, then they kind of started interviewing the parents. So, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. That's when they started actually, like, talking to the parents. Right after the first interviews, the police told the father and a friend to go check the house to see if anything was missing. That's when they reached the basement, and that's when they found the dead body. They somehow, some way thought it was then okay to remove the body and bring it upstairs, also further contaminating the evidence.
Yeah, who the... God.
I know.
Who the fuck thinks that's a good idea?
I know. So, like I said, then afterwards, then that's when they do the autopsy, obviously, and that's when they conclude... that it was asphyxiation, strangulation, severe skull fracture, the mouth, everything, the semen. That's when they, you know, find all that out. So then they start getting a little suspicious, such as the ransom note, the pen, the paper. The family stops answering. So that pretty much ends their investigation at the parents' point. So 1999, a Colorado grand jury voted to indict the Ramseys, finally, on child endangerment and obstruction of a murder investigation. So that's super tricky for me because, like, how can you claim that the parents were the obstruction of a murder investigation when the police were present the entire time? And they kind of should have been like, don't fucking move the body. Don't touch anything. Let's rope the whole house off. Like, that just to me seems like a very ill-putting...
So, they're saying the parents are the obstruction of the investigation.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but I will say this. Oftentimes, there are a lot of other cases I've heard about too, you know, as it's a very sensitive subject because, you know, say, especially if a family member or a loved one has died or, you know, something like that, you want to be completely forthright with all the evidence. You want to help as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But sometimes lawyers will come in and basically their advice is, hey, yeah, let's fucking scale it back.
Absolutely.
Because there is one thing to be said, too, about, like, false confessions. There is one thing to be said, too, about, like, leading an investigation when it comes to something like investigating somebody hours after they found their daughter in this mm-hmm. horrible state and basically, like, are still subject to some sort of trauma and whatever like, emotional yeah. fragility they might be going through. I get the idea of, like, being like, hey, let's just put this on yeah. pause. But there's a difference between that and, like, somebody actively going, no, we're not communicating with you, and we're basically not going to answer your questions. It really seems like dependent upon the situation.
Because as far as I read, they didn't find the body at when the family started saying, I'm not answering more questions. It was literally just based on the ransom note. So the family was just like, oh, fuck, that is weird. All right, you know what? I'm not gonna say anything else. Which, like, yes and no, I kind of understand. And then you're in the heat of the moment, you find your daughter's body, but, like, to carry it upstairs, carry her upstairs.
Who carried her again?
It was the parent. I think it was the dad.
Yeah, so, oh my God. So that reminds me.
No, I know. Like, it's yeah. like, you fucking don't do that.
There was a story years ago, and I think I heard it on Lore, where, like, you know, spoiler alert, guy kills his wife. But when they find the dead wife, he basically carries her body up to the bed, lays it out, and basically tries to, like, prepare her for a funeral service, which at the time was done mostly at home because it's yeah. late 1800s, early 1900s. But, like, every time, like, a doctor was trying to get close to the neck, he would basically, like, wrap his arms around her and console her and cry and rock back and forth, which
but
all
he was
seems
hiding the...
but he's yeah, they basically ended up digging her up years later and finding, like, oh, she had strangle marks and her bones were broken in her neck, and, like, wow. she was killed by the dude. So, like, it's suspicious. It's one of those bold, brazen moves, and I'm not saying that he did this.
It's almost more incriminating, though, when you start kind
of... Yeah, like, that. I don't know, man. It's one of those things to where it's a bold move to sit there and try to pull some shit like that, especially when you know that it could potentially dismiss any sort of evidence later on down the road.
I agree, but I don't know. It's a little frustrating because I do think that the police definitely did not do a good job with just taping off the entire house in the beginning. Just for me, just does a lot. Like, that's just a huge, 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 huge ordeal. So the parents, like, I know this sounds like I'm very, like, pro, like, the parents did this, but it's just so many really peculiar things that the parents did, said, didn't do, and then a lot of, like, weird abnormal things, like, whatever. We'll get into it, and then I'll tell you kind of semi my theory.
A lot to be said, too, about the human element, where in such a like tragic-filled situation, you know, if you're an average cop and you're in the basement watching a man cry over the daughter of his body and he starts to, like, do something a little unorthodox, like try to, like, pick her up and move her.
Stop it.
Agreed. You should, but who knows what the situation is? And he's just like, oh, man, like, I feel bad for this guy. Nope. I'm not saying it's justified.
No, I totally, I understand what you're saying as well, but, like, my heart, it just, it leaves my body and my brain goes into, obviously not parent mode, but into police mode where, like, you have to scream at this man and be like, so do you want us to find out who did this? Do you want us to find out who did this?
Like, maybe he doesn't.
Don't fucking touch the body, you know? And then if he just continually does that, like that man you just said, where he's covering the, you know, like, okay, then I'm going to absorb that as a police officer and be like, that's fucking weird. That's suspicious.
I'm tasing him.
You know, like, no, I'm going to manhandle him out of the room. You can't touch the body.
I agree.
Manhandle 100% with you. Him out. That's a sad dad, saddest shit ever. But like, you can't let that happen. So, I don't know. That's a big whoopsie doopsie poopsie whoopsie, I think, on the cop's end. But so obviously, it's very easy to be like, ah, the parents did it. So like I said, they actually never got charged with this, but they did. Get indicted on child endangerment. I don't believe anything actually ever came of that either, but pretty much at this point, the media took over. They were guilty. So if you remember anything from this, you know that this was a media frenzy. Like, everyone lost their shit over this. Everyone immediately started saying that this was the parents. The parents clearly did this. The $118,000 was very fishy. The fact that they combed the whole house, didn't find her, maybe 6 hours later, now she's dead in the basement. All of the things that were used to kill her were found in the house. The ransom note was found in the house. It's just very suspicious. Mm-hmm. So the things that kind of didn't add up, there was a boot print that was found next to the body.
Did you say a boob print?
Boot.
Okay.
Boot.
I just wanted to make sure.
That was, that was our last episode. No. it caused like 15 people to go back and watch our last episode.
I hope so.
So this is also, I want to hear your opinion on this because, so don't you find it, this is poor choice of words, a little comical when you hear investigators talk about shoe prints and that being like a very major evidence factor. So like, let's say I'm wearing my 7.5 little shoes right now, okay? And then I feel like I'm going to go, not the little, I know. So I say I'm going to go to kill somebody. And then I've watched, allegedly, I've watched one crime show in my entire life. Don't you think it's almost just like kind of comical that people at this point don't just go get shoes that are like one size bigger, one size smaller and wear those for the crime when they know that there's going to be footprints? Because like, how many times have you heard been like, oh, well, if the glove don't fit, you must have quit. But then the shoe print is like, oh, that's their size. That's him. That's it. And that's like a major factor of evidence. Like, don't you feel like that's a really simple thing to kind of fabricate?
So one thing, it's creepy that you think of that.
I mean, that's fine. I feel like that's wrong. My job.
I mean, you're definitely not wrong with that. I will say, too, that's why I've been doing a lot of training for handstands. because if the glove don't fit, we already know that case works. And I could just handstand my way through a crime scene and be good to go.
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't leave any fingerprints whatsoever.
I get glove, duh.
So don't you think it's easier to hide a shoe print than a handprint that you can't like hide how big the hand is?
Long-term plan, handstand my way through a murder, and then 2 months before mention that there's a possible orangutan escape / skunk ape sightings in the area.
Did you say skunk ape?
Yes. Problem solved.
So is it a smelly crime scene?
Who knows? I don't know. Okay. That's up for the police to decide. I'm going to go fart crazy.
Hopefully it's not the same police as this investigation and the one you talked about, because yowzers. So the police also found male blood on the body. They could not identify it, meaning the person. I think that when you say they can't identify, to me that comes off as then the person doesn't have any priors because then they're not in the system. But that's just what I think it means.
Well, even then, too, like, they would obviously, you would assume they would take blood samples from the brother and the father and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So they did do that. Okay. So they, that's where it gets a little tricky. So the most famous suspect was John Carr. So he actually confessed to the killing, but killing her by accident after he drugged her, sexually assaulted her, but the blood did not match the scene.
Okay.
So it was very odd thing for someone to confess to. So it was either like he was clout chasing or he did it. And coming back, so in 2008, district attorney's office released a statement stating that they do not believe any of the family members had anything to do with the murder, even though pretty much the entire world believed the family, specifically the brother, had done it. So the brother was 9 years old at the time, and this is a very awkward question I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Okay. Can you get a boner at 9?
Yeah, accidentally. Yeah.
Can you ejaculate at 9?
I'm not going to answer that for every man.
But I've heard, on average?
I've heard some can, and I've heard some can't.
What's like the normal age?
I don't know. I would assume like 12 to 13. Okay, so let's go to a physiology.
You're welcome.
Yeah, God, thanks a lot. without being too graphic, I think most men can agree, like, The dude downstairs makes you feel things you didn't fully understand before it does anything.
I've watched Big Mouth.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't actually, like, produce anything for some time before you start realizing what it does. So, okay. Yeah.
So, you can get an erection without ejaculating at that age, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Quite often on accident. Like, you could just be walking around and just, like, goes
like
to find...
the air hits you different or
not
something.
Not even that. It has nothing to do with, like, nothing, a sensation and thing. Like, you just, like, apparently your dick's trying to find water. And you're like, God damn it, I got to sit down in class a little bit longer before I leave. Or the old waistband tuckaroo. We all know that one.
Okay, so weirdly enough, that actually kind of answers my question. But
Aye.
So because the brother at the time was 9. So when I first hear this theory, I'm up in the air because obviously I don't know this. Like, could he physically have sexually assaulted her at 9?
I mean, it's possible.
We've heard
stories before, too, to where, like, people can do that. Whether or not he was able to produce anything is completely
because
different.
Because he didn't find semen. So that's why this also kind of leads me in a weird direction because – they claim that her vagina was wiped clean. There was no semen, that there was no signs of that, but there was definitely signs of physical or sexual assault.
Okay.
So in my mind, I'm thinking, so they're also claiming that there's two assailants. I'll skip ahead a teensy bit because they reopened it, did DNA testing, conclusive evidence kind of proved that there was two people involved instead of one.
Okay.
So still no semen, two people involved. The shoes didn't match anyone at the seam, but the brother's fingerprints was on the pineapple that was in her stomach, this and that. So, like, first theory, did brother have a friend? Did brother have maybe a slightly older friend? And maybe they did it together.
No, that's highly possible because, you know? The one thing I will say is this. At 9 years old, especially if this is a local community where she's gaining some sort of notoriety.
Worldwide notoriety.
Yeah, and, like... And let's be honest, and this is going to sound really upsetting, but pedophilia doesn't necessarily have an age range as far as who experiences it. So with that being said, too, there's nothing to state that, like, maybe, you know, 1, 2, maybe even more teenagers in the area know that they can befriend the like, JonBenet's brother and essentially use that as a way to manipulate the situation for what they want. I'm sure JonBenet's brother probably, if that were the situation, you could argue, like, maybe he didn't know what the full extent of what was going to happen was.
Exactly.
Because in my mind, one, he's probably not producing anything from down there, if to not be too graphic.
Child. Semen.
Yeah. Okay, there's that. Piggy Palace. Good Time Society.
Drink.
So, he's probably not producing anything down there. And then at the same time, too... I would assume not only can he not do that, he probably doesn't have the wherewithal at that age to try to clean the area of the body that's been violated or anything like that, too. It's probably not on the forefront.
Or it doesn't need to be cleaned if there isn't anything like that, because I think investigators said that it was white because they didn't find any residue or anything, but would there be residue if he was physically not able to produce it yet?
I would assume there probably wouldn't be any residue, but at the same time, too, like, it does seem highly plausible that two teenagers, two men, even more, who knows? Because unfortunately there is sex trafficking, there is, you know, child trafficking, all that kind of stuff. And it is highly possible that maybe people who know the father utilize a connection with the brother to be able to get in, and utilize the brother maybe for like some sort of form of safety or like, hey, you know, get your sister, come out and do this, yeah. like blah, blah, blah.
Because then
like,
he feels comfortable because that's dad's friend or something. And then they would know how much he got as a bonus.
Exactly. Ooh, there's that.
I like that theory.
And then also, too, like, oh, they're all hanging out. Here, have some pineapple. Like, all who fucking knows?
Yeah. Maybe that's what had the drugs in it or something that drugged her was the pineapple. Yeah. Like they put some stuff in that. And that was pretty much all in her stomach. So, yeah.
So I don't know. It's possible that he could have been involved. But, I mean, we already got the blood evidence, the DNA evidence saying that he wasn't the one who's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. That's what a big. Definitely a big thing is, and then also circling back to the fact that the person whose blood it was never in the system. So to me, I assume that means someone with no priors, or could it just mean someone who is too young to physically be in the system or have any priors? Like, that was never mentioned that any other kids besides who was in the family could have even been a possibility.
And even then, too. I can almost backtrack on my own theory on that realm, too, to where, like, even if the brother hates his sister, even if the brother was involved with something or paid off or whatever.
She's getting all the limelight, you know?
Yeah, who fucking knows? At the end of the day, though, if he is being investigated and they're, like, I think that's enough pressure for at least a 9-year-old to crack down and be like, oh, it was dad's work friend so-and-so. Yeah. And they, you know, took us out to this one area and then they all kind of like went away with her and I don't know what happened. Yeah. And then I just, yeah, like you would think that he would eventually crack under some sort of pressure, you know?
I get that. I definitely agree with that to an extent. But then it's like, what age do sociopaths really start developing those habits of no empathy and being able to like keep stuff like that inside? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. That really, like, that breaks down to, you know, what's body language during being interviewed?
And were those cops even remotely paying attention to that? Because at the time, this is a major, major, major case that is now in their lap. So, of course, they're going to be assuming that, you know, it has to be someone older and, like, I don't know. It just seems super unlikely that at the time that the police were like, it's a 9-year-old little boy, her brother, a 9-year-old brother, you know? So, what the craziest shit is, so in 2016, CBS, we all know CBS.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, well, we're going to get sued now.
From what? Some dinky little company?
No, just because I mentioned the name, that's what I'm saying.
SBC.
SBC, well, let me be me, so let me see. No? So in 2016... You just described like every school dance in 8th and 9th grade for me, so I appreciate that.
That's actually an inside joke between Kristen and I.
Really? Yeah. That's hilarious. That was an inside joke between me and like 15 of my friends. Mm-hmm. So 2016, CBS aired the case, which implied her then 9-year-old brother was the killer, even though the DNA testing cleared him and proved the existence of an intruder. So get this shit. Burke is his name. Burke filed a $750 million lawsuit against CBS for defamation.
Did he win?
He did.
Good. Good for him, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
but what if he did it, Chris?
If he did it, then the cops should have fucking found out he did it.
You're not wrong.
I'm just saying, like, that's one thing I just wrote down.
You can't
just say it. No, that's one thing I just wrote down for, like, for just on my notes here is, like, media involvement. Just because, like... This kind of came out in the same time frame as like OJ,
yeah,
as Casey,
you're right.
Anthony,
you're right.
Where we started like celebritizing a lot of these criminal cases, and oftentimes too,
or
like,
condemning them before the trial even start. I mean,
no, for sure.
All
like,
the people you just listed definitely
like OJ
did it,
definitely
but
did it, and Casey Anthony,
yeah, did it.
Jesus fucking Christ. But at the same time, like it was already predetermined by the masses on behalf of the media that this person did it.
No,
and
you're so not wrong.
On those other two accounts that I just mentioned, yeah, it's still highly probable that they probably did it. But yeah, with the brother, I mean, if you've got DNA evidence and an alibi and all these different things saying he didn't, and
well, the like, alibi, him being in the same house, but
yeah
I agree.
And but like a company going like, nah, it was still him. Like,
no,
fuck
it was
you.
Super fucked up on their end.
Because that can
totally
ruin somebody's
because
life.
Because it ruined this whole family's life, like that from the beginning. But like, I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
Do I think that he possibly still could have been involved in this. I do. In my heart, like, there's a still little speck of me that just seems it's a little just kind of, I don't know, odd of everything. But when you don't definitively have an answer or have a case where, like, there is definitely someone who did it.
Yeah.
It is super fucked up to and I mean, make the movie on her life. Like, do that. That's totally acceptable to do.
I'm sure Lifetime's already made like 10 of them.
Honestly.
I'm sure one of them is from the dog's perspective.
Sam was just minding his own business when he saw a weird man writing a note on the...
Sam runs... Oh, fuck.
Run,
stop
Sam
making
runs.
Me laugh at this.
It's not funny. Did that help?
No. So...
All right.
So they... They did settle outside of court. So it was not $750 million, but it definitely was very fucking close because it was not disclosed and they settled, which means CBS settled for I would bet you at least over $250 million. And that's a total speculation because no one knows.
It wasn't 18-doll hairs, I can tell you that.
It was not 18-doll hairs like what I get from this whole fucking thing.
And you should be grateful.
So to this day, the case of JonBenet Ramsey is still unsolved, and it's fucking nuts. Honestly, I think this is. I mean, who doesn't know the name? Who doesn't know at least a part of the story?
No,
but
I mean,
make your own opinion on this, because we don't have anything else, you know.
Yeah, I think when you say the name, everybody can picture the People magazine cover that, yes. Like you said, does come out like every 5 years. Like they just need a grab bag of some shit.
Absolutely. We're just fucked in
itself. But it was one of the first sensationalized kind of like of crimes that had happened, especially since
murders, man, like it's super fucked up.
1,000%. I don't know. It's really hard to tell without going into more and more because I as you were starting to bring stuff up, you know, the ransom note, I remember...
I might be able to answer some questions if you do have any, but...
On the ransom note, I remember it being weirdly specific, not just the amount, but also towards, like...
The details.
The details and, like, what his business did recently in certain transactions that had transpired recently.
How they know that he has that money.
Not only how they know how he has that money, but also they know the inner workings of his business and who he's doing business with. So that gives you two possible scenarios. One... Him trying to cover his ass for a motive, or two, somebody actually having some sort of jilted kind of feelings toward the man, and, you know, in the worst way possible, trying to get back at him through, you know, doing terrible things to one of his family members. So I remember that aspect of things. The $118,000 was very specific. So that's either a bold move on his part to call himself out and see if people kind of travel that route and see if they can find out whether or not he did it, or it's somebody who's super jilted. The pineapple thing, she doesn't like, but maybe she does. I don't know. Kids are fucking weird. I can't tell you how many times like kids have been like, I don't like that. And then you see them eating it, but they just don't want to eat it in front of you because they want a fucking power move.
It's super odd, but I don't know. That part kind of sticks with me as well.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. I think one of the big
the only thing that was in her stomach.
Yeah.
And that's like one of the only things she was ever like on record saying that she didn't like.
And again, that's another thing we get into as well. Like, this is all hyper speculative. You know, if the brother is involved, he's fucking 9. Think of like a weird fucking way you're trying to get some sort of one over on somebody you're mad at. Like, eat the thing you hate. Like, that could be why, you know? Like, yeah. But also at the same time,
no, you're right.
Brothers and sisters suck. Like, that could have been like
but that
him
was
just
on Christmas. So he made her eat the pineapple, the food she doesn't like, literally on Christmas.
Oh, the poor little lamb. I had to eat peas every day.
It was December 25th.
It was December 26th. Maybe
that she died. It was the 25th that she would have eaten it, dummy.
All I'm saying is that it's the same on the 24th as the 25th. If you don't like something, it's gross. So. But I could see, like, literally him just hazing her before she went to bed one night and having nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? How many, like, so, seriously, like, did you have any brothers or sisters?
No.
So, I love mine to death. They're awesome.
Except Destiny, but she's a piece of shit.
And
I love you.
That's not what she says here. And I never went through anything like that. But I remember hearing stories of friends who had brothers and sisters where they, like, hold them down and be like, eat this. I know you hate it. Like, verbatim. So maybe that's just some sort of weird bullshit thing the brother was doing. But the big thing that I take away from it, too, is the media involvement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's oh man, and this is going to get super not political but opinionated on it, like, especially nowadays, the amount of power that the media wields in construing the narrative of a conversation or of a situation is terrifying. And especially as they're starting to see, you know, what they're capable of doing, and what they're capable of doing with throwing their weight around in something like that. That was like, again, like right at the precipice of, any sort of celebrityism or like sensationalism of, doing anything with crimes and all that stuff going on. Yeah. So. You just wiggled your fingers weirdly. What did you find?
I did. So somehow, some way, I actually just stumbled upon an article that I did not see earlier from the Rolling Stone. So the day after Christmas, when the cops came and did a full look around the whole entire house, it hadn't snowed in 2 days and there was no footsteps around the whole house in the snow.
Wait, what? Say that. Wait, what?
So it hadn't snowed, it hadn't snowed in 2 days. So it wasn't fresh snow to cover anything up, you know? Okay. So in 2 days, so it was fresh snow and there was no footprints around the entire house.
All right.
How did they get in?
Handstands.
So there was no handprints in the snow. How did they get in?
Well, they don't say that, you're assuming. Thanks a lot, CBS.
This is Rolling Stone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's...
How about that one, motherfucker?
Well, that's the thing. Did the boot print match anybody in the house?
No.
But that's why I brought up the point.
That's why I brought up the point of how anyone can literally just wear it. Like, I could personally stick my feet in a size 11 rain boot right now and be able to walk around and probably run.
Okay. I'm going to propose...
Not that I tried that, but... No,
I'm
going
to propose a fun game.
That I could put some big boots on and
run. Not even that. Just for us. Like... How would you? So we'll go through a lot of these stories, right? And so when you talked about that specifically, yo, how are you getting rid of those boots?
How am I getting rid of them?
Mm-hmm.
I would probably go to a few communities over and put them in their compactor or try to figure out when garbage pickup was.
Okay. So I'm going to try to tear that apart. One,
do it.
They can pull your garbage from the local dump.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly put it back to you using the same rubber, the same brands, all
those
things.
How can they pull the garbage if it goes to truck to the dump and then dumped?
They're not Colorado fucking cops. They're actually doing their work here. If you are a Colorado cop, thank you for your service.
If it's a giant landfill and the cars are just going in and dumping trash, how do you figure out where
that's honestly, that's how a lot of things have been found.
Mail.
How a lot of things have been found.
So what about if you go just several communities over and just dump the boots off? So what if I wear like socks, leggings, and wear gloves to put them on and off.
How are you getting there?
To get to the dump?
Yeah.
Ask a neighbor if I could borrow their vehicle because mine's having issues.
Okay, so now somebody knows that you borrowed the vehicle between now and now.
All right, so we're talking about snow.
Okay.
Okay, right? So, yeah, sure. So, let's say I use my own vehicle and drive out onto the road that everyone else has traveled. How can you trace where my car is going? If the where I'm going doesn't have cameras.
Do you have a GPS in your car?
It's the 90s, so probably not.
Okay. So yeah, that could be possible too. But
especially if I use if I have a classic car, then there's zero electrical components to it whatsoever.
But what's your alibi though?
Alibi? I was sleeping in my fucking bedroom like my parents said I was.
Sounds fishy.
You tell me about it.
You 9-year-old classic car driver.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to come up with this entire scenario right off the bat?
No,
because
I know.
I think this 9-year-old may have had a week on the internet.
All I'm saying is hear me out. I think it could be a fun game from time to time. Yes. Like, how would you?
Yeah.
So starting it here.
And then we try to piece together how you did it or something. Or like you actually dump something.
So like, all right, how the fuck did you dump it? Or like how you get rid of the body or this, that, or whatever. And the other person's just like, all right, but I already found this. I'm a detective. I'm going to fucking pin you to the wall.
So, like, looking Baldwin, how many garbage compactors are there?
Two, and for no other reason, I know they get taken out on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay, so how hard is that to figure out? If you literally bring something in there early Tuesday, it gets taken out, go to the compactor in a single bag with none of your mail.
Girl, I got access to KMS acid. I got access to caustic. I'm burning that shit down into a goop. I'm dumping it into the fucking grease trap over at Sato. And they're just going to dump it. They're going to take it out on Monday. It's fine.
I'm going to go take it to the pig farm, and your whole entire plan is...
Well, have fun up in fucking Vancouver. I hear women go missing like that.
Well, I'm... Okay, never mind. I'm half of the people who went missing.
Well, my dad can beat up your dad.
You said it was like indigenous people and prostitutes. I'm not a prostitute, so.
I mean, you're
wow.
You're one of the two. Like, that's terrible. Because like, you
said,
actually
that's yeah. what I said. Well, yeah. Never mind.
I actually felt bad saying a fact there.
Do you want to hear the 8 possible subjects just for shits and gigs?
Really quickly, because I have to pee.
Okay, so mom, because she had cancer and spread to the brain, and evidently that also kind of goes against some like developmental fundamentals of your brain.
Okay.
And JonBenet had a serious history of bedwetting that her mom would get really pissed off at. Stupid, crazy, I know. So
part of the McDonald's triad, by the way, is bedwetting. So maybe she could have been a serial killer when she grew up. Who knows?
Okay. Well, touche. So the dad, some crazy shit happened within his work, and they also was speculated that JonBenet heard too much. The brother, that was obvious. Then we have a crazy couple of crazy fucks, like the town drifter is literally what his name is.
Old Grapefruit Joe,
sex offender in Boulder, Colorado. This is where this happened, obviously. So he also was a serious potential suspect. The electrician, the school teacher. So the school teacher is actually the one who confessed. So he's the one who came out about it, which is kind of crazy.
So
he had a sexual fascination with JonBenet, by the way.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm gonna say something really gross and creepy and weird. I think that's unfortunately a byproduct of the fact that we put beauty pageants on fucking 4-year-olds. That's weird as shit.
100%.
That is weird as shit. Why are you like beautifying and sexualizing children?
So much for saying that. So, see that movie that was on Netflix, The Little Cuties or Cuties or whatever it was called? Oh my God, Chris. It was one of the most traumatizing things I've ever seen. And this came out this year.
Okay.
And it was a movie that was based on little girls who were, I think, were under the age of like 10, and they were doing like twerk dancing and stuff like that.
That's
and
fucking
so
gross.
And it was a whole series on like them doing these competitions, dance competitions and stuff. But like, if you look at it in a broader perspective, like you were literally giving free content to these fucking people.
Yeah.
You know, like it was just unbelievable.
And I know I brought it up before. There's actually, I think it was Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, where Ben Kissel actually interviewed it was a therapist for pedophiles who have yet to actually perform any crimes. So like they've identified themselves like, yes, I'm a pedophile. And yes, I know that's illegal. It's something that I can't control. And this is like kind of what I try to do to make sure that I don't ever like offend or repeat, like, or not repeat, but basically like have some sort of crime. But, yeah. So like, you know, I don't know what everyone else's mindset is on it. I'm sure there's a lot more in play, more so than just, ew, they're gross and they choose to be that way. But there's something to be said about basically, like you just said, taking something like a beauty pageant and glorifying and beautifying and sexualizing children, which is fucking gross.
It is.
And if you're doing that, like, be a better parent, man. Like,
honestly.
And then being...
Think to yourself, do they actually want to be doing this?
Yeah, and then being offended when... Or not even offended, just being like... appalled when all of a sudden something like that happens, and like not being able to understand why that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the housekeeper was a suspect, but she also testified that she thought the mom did it. She said, I think she had multiple personalities. She'd be in a good mood and then she'd be cranky. She got into arguments with JonBenet about wearing a dress or about a friend come over. I've never seen her so I've never seen anyone as upset. So she also was a suspect, but also thought it was her. And super fucked up, the town Santa was a suspect.
Oh, man.
I know. So that was all of them. His name was Bill McReynolds, now deceased. He was a family friend. He was there a week before the murder. And was rumored to have paid a little too much attention to JonBenet, going as far as to arrange a secret visit from Santa on Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
I Chihuahua.
Oh, fuck.
So.
All right, letting that moment drop.
I know. So it's like it you have your theories and then you read another five suspects and then you can almost understand why this is still unsolved, but how can it still be? It was in her home. She was put back there. It's like there's no footprints. Like, what the fuck, man?
Honestly, too, I think at least to some degree, tampering of evidence should be charged against something
Yes. Yeah. I agree. Because I think maybe this may have been solved if the police and the parents were not so negligent on what should be done, not that knee-jerk, which none of us have been in this situation. I totally understand, but you just always have to just try to bring logic to some fucked up situation because that might be your only chance at actually figuring it out. So,
all right. Well,
that's my super upbeat, happy-go-lucky, Merry Christmas story.
Well, guys, it's a beautiful Christmas Eve. Settle in. Start a fire.
The sun is shining.
Get a beer. Get a whiskey. Get something. Get a soda water if you're not a drinker. That's fine. Just keep an eye out for the local Santa. And fuck, I don't know, call a friend and watch some Tom and Jerry. That's what I do when I get sad. Jesus Christ.
I know, right? You can't even watch a horror movie without watching Tom and Jerry, so.
yeah, guys, that's our Christmas. Well, I don't know. We're going to try to make it happen. Do you want to possibly try that Krampus thing?
I do.
Okay.
We'll try a Krampus episode. We had a conversation before. It's a little tricky to nail down the origin of it and then plus some stories because, I mean, they're like pretty made up stories, but they're still kind of fun to listen to.
So something we've never done on the show before and something I'm a huge fan of is, if you're not familiar with it, it's called Creepypasta. It's basically just a bunch of like self-written stories that are kind of published online. And I'm sure we can find a bunch of Krampus involved ones. So if you guys are cool with that format,
yeah,
we'll try it out. You let us know what you think.
Hey, if you've heard one, let us know. But yeah, if not, yeah, we're going to go that route.
And if anything, at least you get like a bonus episode of some seriously spooky, scary ones. Also, be good to people or else he'll totally grab you in a sack and throw you into a giant hole.
Or they'll grab your sack. You never know.
Yeah. Give your toodles a no. as always, please, again, as we're leading up, please follow ORL Beer Week on Instagram, Facebook. Let us know what sort of breweries you want to see doing what. As the breweries are kind of doing more things, we'll put that information out there. And then also huge thanks to Sticker Wolf for always making sure they provide us with some slappers. They always kill it. They've actually made our designs better by kind of being like, nah, you want to do this.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, yeah, if you're looking for beer labels and those kind of things, that's pretty much that. Yeah,
what do you got? I can't believe I'm actually being able to say this, but since we got hit up a few times this week, if you guys want some of your local beer to be featured, shoot us a message and we'll send our shipping address to you.
Oh, yeah,
and you're more than welcome to send some. Thank you guys so much for those who've reached out and even said that's a possibility. That blows my mind that you guys want to send us beer. So that's awesome. Yeah. And we are more than happy to try it out and feature it on the episode. So shoot us a message and we'll get that ball rolling.
No, for sure. I mean, anytime we can actually perpetuate anything cool that somebody else is doing, more than happy to do it. So
absolutely.
With that being said, guys, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever the hell you celebrate. Who cares, man? Just show some love, show some happiness to the people around you. And hopefully you have a great week. We will see you.
Yeah.
Well, hear you, see you, hear you. Actually,
we'll speak to you shortly.
No, I'll see you.
Toodles. Dead. Dead.